Way back yonder in about 1944, 45, Brother Sam Burton was aboard a ship called the USS Wichita. And I can just picture him now when he was laying there on his bunk. And he would hear a sound coming over the speakers. And the bosun would be blowing his whistle. And Sam could tell, number one, whether the ship was being attacked by the enemy and they wanted all men at their battle stations. Or he could tell if it was chow time to go get in the chow line and eat. Or he could tell if it's time to turn the lights out and go to bed. You know, and such as this. And they regulated conduct of the sailors on board ships by those whistles and bells and things like that that they had. You know, God used the trumpet. He used the trumpet. They didn't have trumpets like we have trumpets today. They made them out of ram's horns. You may have seen pictures of them. I remember when I was a boy, we would try to make horns out of cow horns. You know, we'd find an old dead cow skull out there in the woods somewhere and knock it off, work on it a little while and see if we could get it to where we could blow it. But that's kind of like what the Jews used in Israel. They blew trumpets made out of ram's horns. And in Joel chapter 2, the scripture here says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." Now, when you read that, I want you to visualize, if you can, the trumpeter standing up here on the wall. He's got that thing aimed out over the city so that the sound of it will carry into every household whenever he sounds this trumpet. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm." Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." The day of the Lord, he's coming, and it's nigh at hand, we're told here. There are over 118 references, by the way, to trumpets and sounding the trumpets throughout your Bible. And when you check all of these out, as many as they are, you'll find that they all fall into about four different categories. We're going to talk about those tonight, when they blew the trumpets in Zion. First of all, the trumpet announced an assembly. When they heard the trumpet sounding, that meant gather yourselves. Gather yourselves together. I don't know if you've ever been around it. I'm sure you're familiar with it. You've seen it on television, if nowhere else. But the Muslims pray. And they have their tall minarets, I think they call them. Big needle-type high buildings. And the guy gets up there in the top of it, to where the sound will carry all over the neighborhood. And when it's time to pray, and they pray at least three times a day, they make that sound and they call the people to worship, call them to prayer. So that announces an assembly. Back in the book of Numbers, the first chapter, actually, verses 45 and 46, we're told that when the men of Israel were numbered, there were 603,350 of them that were 20 years old and upward, who left Egypt with Moses when they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Now, if you've got 603,000 men 20 years old and upward, you kind of figure it out. You've got a lot of women. You have men who are younger than 20. And by the when you have one set of numbers here, you can kind of get a pretty good ballpark figure of how many people there were in this entire assembly. Now, there were roughly 2 million people. Now, that's a whole bunch, isn't it? 2 million people who were delivered out of Egyptian bondage. And they're out in that barren wasteland, the wilderness of sin, around Mount Sinai, that area out there. 2 million of them, counting boys, girls, men, and women. And they've got to be watered and they've got to be fed for 40 years. And God fixed it to where their clothes didn't wear out. And their shoes didn't wear out. You talk about bringing in a new pair of shoes, by the time you wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years. That's something, isn't it? They had a lot of people. Well, look, you've got 2 million people out here, and I'm sure they're not all wadded together in a group. They're kind of scattered out. There's a little space in between them. And whenever Moses wants to gather them together, you can't holler loud enough to reach the guy on the back row. So they used that horn, that trumpet, and they used it with a certain sound that meant a general assembly. They didn't have any amplification. In Exodus, the 19th chapter, verses 16 and 17 says it was the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud that brought the people out of the camp to meet with God at Mount Sinai in 1462 B.C. The Bible says, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Sometimes the trumpet sound would mean, soldiers, man your battle stations, because the enemy, their enemy out there in the desert were the Amalekites. They were mean, and they would attack the Israelites, and they were outnumbered by the Israelites, but the Israelites were more or less like a herd of sheep. They were helpless. And the Amalekites would attack them like a wolf would attack a group of sheep. And when that trumpet sounded, you soldiers, grab your spears, your bow and arrows, and let's go fight. And Judges chapter 6, verse 34, tells us about old Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges. You'll remember the Israelites after they got into the promised land back in 1212 B.C. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. He came to this place and he wanted the attention of all of the people. So he blew the trumpet in order to assemble them together. And there were 32,000 men who responded to that trumpet call when Gideon blew the trumpet, and they went to battle against the Midianites and the Amalekites to throw off their yoke of bondage. In 444 B.C., when Nehemiah and his crew came back from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild Jerusalem after the captivity, the Bible says they had such opposition as they were building the walls and building the city that they had to work with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. be ready to fight the enemy off. Nehemiah said, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Nehemiah was kind of the boss man over the project, and he would tell the trumpeter, blow the trumpet, and he would do it. Because they never knew from which direction the enemy was going to attack or where they were going to attack. And so he told them, he said, in what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. That's the way they had to work and build. The historian Josephus tells us that at the beginning of the Sabbath, so that's the Sabbath day, it's Saturday, the start of that holy day was announced by the priest blowing the trumpet to remind all of the people, this is Saturday morning. You don't go to work today. You don't do any work on the Sabbath day. Remember it. Keep it holy. Archaeologists over there found a stone some time ago. It was a block, a stone block in the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, and it had an inscription on it. It says, to the place of trumpeting. In other words, this was the block, stone block, that the trumpeter would stand on whenever he would blow the trumpet to assemble the people of Israel together. So the trumpet announced an assembly. Keep that in mind. You'll need it later. Now, the trumpet also announced freedom. This is something that some of us may remember. It happened back on May the 14th, 1998, about 12 years ago. You know what happened 12 years ago? Israel celebrated their 50th year of freedom. And 50 years to the Jews is a year of Jubilee. And on the year of Jubilee, that's when they really blew the trumpets. They celebrated because it was the year of Jubilee. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 9 and 10 say this about it. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. It shall be holy unto you. Did you notice that? Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants. My, that must have been a joyous occasion. You see, that they had an emancipation proclamation every 50 years. You know, back in those days, when a person fell on hard times, he would kind of hire himself out, we would call it today, but actually they would become a slave. They would sell their servants to somebody, and it was a contract, they would work for this person, working off a debt, something like that. And when that 50th year rolled around, that was a day to blow the trumpets and set the people free. A day of liberty. It was a day of jubilee. And the trumpet announced it. Then the trumpet announced celebration. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read about the time that David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And the Bible says it was with gladness. That means that there's some happiness there. Some of them were glad to see it come back. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, that ark had been taken by the Israelites in the battle against the Philistines. They were a little skeptical when they went out, and they said, man, if we had something religious to take with us, you know, like today we would use the cross. Boy, we carry the cross, you know. This is our symbol by which we're going to win the victory. Well, they didn't have the cross back then, but they had the Ark of the Covenant. And so they took an Ark of the Covenant, and they depended upon a thing instead of God, and that thing got captured. Even though it was holy, it got captured by the Philistines. Now, it's a long story, and I'll not go into it, but the Philistines found out after a while they didn't want it. And so they tried to get rid of it, and they did. And it wound up in the house of Abinadab at Gibeah and stayed there for a long time, and finally it was moved to the house of Obed-Edom in 1016 B.C., and now David wants to bring it to Jerusalem. So it was in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And then David sent down there and had it brought back to Jerusalem. The Bible says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. They had the trumpet. I mean, they were bringing this holy ark back to the house of God, and leading the procession out here was this guy with that ram's horn trumpet, and he was blowing that thing with all of his might to announce to all the people the celebration of bringing the ark back home. They celebrated. The Bible says this is where Buddy gets his song. You've heard him sing that song about David playing the polka, dancing. Yeah, that's a cute song. Anyway, the Bible says that David was leaping and dancing before the Lord with all his might. So that trumpet announced rejoicing. And again, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when Solomon's temple was dedicated in 975 B.C. You see, David wanted to build that temple. He got all of the material together, and God said, no, David, even though you're a man after my own heart, you've been a man of war, and you shed blood. And he said, you can go ahead and gather all the material together, but I'm going to let your son Solomon build that temple. And so as soon as David never got to see it. He gathered all the material together, but he never got to see that temple. After he was dead, Solomon came and he built that beautiful temple. And on the day of dedication, my, the Bible says that they had 120 trumpets. I tell you, that'd make the neighbors sit up and take notice, wouldn't it? And 120 trumpets sounding. The trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound. That speaks to me of harmony. One sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, saying, praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Wasn't that an occasion there? My, just think about that. And that ark was transferred to the temple, and the house of the Lord was filled with that glory cloud, that bright, shining Shekinah glory of God, filled the temple, so that the priests could not even stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. My, how exciting that must have been. It was a time of celebration. And years later, Israel kind of, you know, got off the beaten path and wandered out into sin and started worshiping idols and things like that. Their kings led them into that. And after a while, they got a good king by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah came on the throne of Judah, and he called the people back to God, and he restored that temple worship. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, you'll read, when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets. All the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. My, what a day of rejoicing it was when God's people came back. Time of celebration. Number four, the trumpet announced coronation. Coronation is when you put the golden crown on the head of the man that's to be king of the nation. Coronation Day. Solomon was anointed king of Israel in 985 B.C. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 39 says, and Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. Boy, back in those days they would take that pure olive oil and they would pour it on the crown of his head and it would run down on his clothes and drip off the hem of his garment. Anointed with oil. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. Coronation Day. 2 Kings 11. Joash was anointed king of Judah. Scripture says, they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. The king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. Those trumpets are sounding because a king has been crowned. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, we're told there by prophecy of Jesus triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. The scripture says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. But Jesus was not crowned king that day, so the trumpets were not blown. But one day the trumpet will sound for the coronation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That day's coming. Isaiah 27 says that when Jesus returns, he will be welcomed with trumpets. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet will be blown. When I think of that great trumpet, what kind of cough drops or something is it that they got this guy standing up here and he's got that long trumpet that runs down the side of the hill or something? You know, I think about this great trumpet every time I see that ad on television. I've forgotten now what it is they advertise, but what is it? Ricola. That's what's Ricola? that's the biggest trumpet I've ever seen. And I think about this scripture there that says that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, the scripture says. In our text there in Joel 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet, the day of the Lord cometh. Paul told the Christians in the church of Thessalonica in his letter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. The trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. One day the trumpet will sound. And you talk about an assembly. Oh, I'll tell you, what a day that will be when all of God's saints assemble together at the sound of the trumpet. Paul wrote to the Christians in the church at Corinth. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, listen to this, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a day that will be. We're listening for the sound of the trumpet. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been cast over there by himself on that lonely island. His crime? He preached the gospel. He told people about Jesus. The authorities didn't like it. Isn't it amazing how the devil gets mad when they hear people talk about Jesus? I don't understand it. But you walk onto the public school grounds anywhere in any state in the United States, and did you hear about that poor kid? Somebody sneezed and he said, God bless you! And he got expelled from school for using the word G-O-D. How ridiculous can this country get? You can't even say God's name. People don't like it. But listen. John, he says, I heard, as it were, the voice of a trumpet. Think of this. We're going to experience this one of these days. I heard, as it were, the voice of a trumpet talking with me. All right, I never heard a trumpet talk, but this year had something to say. Talking with me, which said, wow, come up hither. You can't misunderstand that. Come up hither, and we'll drop this old robe of flesh to rise and be caught up with the Lord to meet him in the air. Come up hither. Sound of the trumpet. Assemble all God's people, dead and living, shall rise up to meet him when the trumpet sounds. Assemble. Freedom! Oh! And we're going to be liberated from this old earth and from all of the sin and the bondage and the corruption and the violence and the wickedness. We'll be free. When the Son makes you free indeed. And then the trumpet sounds for celebration, and we're going to rejoice when that day comes, all of God's people, for we shall see Him as He is in all of His majestic splendor, in all of His Shekinah glory. What a day of celebration. And then it's a day of coronation. We shall see Christ. No more will it be a crown of thorns upon His head, but it will be a crown of glory. And in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we shall crown Him, Jesus the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a day that will be. We'll close by calling your attention to Ezekiel chapter 3. Because God said to Ezekiel, He said, I've made you a watchman. I'm setting you in a prominent place. He said, when you see the enemy coming, you blow the trumpet. You warn the people. You know, that's our job today, to warn people. They talk about the indifference of Americans today because so many people can stand by and watch a crime being committed, one person doing violence to another, and they won't get, I don't want to have any part of this, I don't want to get involved, I'm going to stay away from it. And you let somebody kill somebody else right in front of your eyes without trying to do anything about it. But God wants us to get involved. We know somebody that's unsaved. That person's going to hell when they die. According to the Word of God, that person's going to die without Christ, without hope. And I know the way to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I'm not going to tell anybody that. And I'm just going to let them go on in their sin and in their ignorance. And I'm going to let them die without Christ. And go out into eternity lost. Because I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to get involved. Is that right? That's not right. He said, I've set you as a watchman. When you see the enemy coming, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. God wants us to tell people about Jesus. About His great love, the compassion that He has for the lost, how that He wants them to be saved.